This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramina. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramina.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I am really excited about tonight's show because my guest is the multi-talented Madison Young. Madison is actually one of over 50 different presenters who are going to be at the second annual Feminist Porn Conference, which is happening next weekend, April 5th to the 6th at the University of Toronto, and is presented by the Mark S. Bonham Center for Sexual Diversity Studies. So guess what, people? Registration was supposed to close today online, but I've extended it special just for you. I have extended online registration through Monday at noon Eastern time. So you can still get the online registration prices by going to fpcon.org. The Feminist Porn Conference brings together academics, students, cultural critics, sex workers, activists, fans, performers, directors, and producers to explore the intersections between feminism and pornography. We've got the opening keynote by Professor Lisa Dugan, the closing keynote by filmmaker and award-winning performer Courtney Trouble, and just 2 days of incredible programming, if I do say so myself. You do not want to miss it. So find out more at fpcon.org. Let me tell you about my guest tonight. Madison Young is an artist and activist dedicating to creating space for love. This sexpert grew up in the suburban landscape of Southern Ohio before moving to the queer Mecca, San Francisco, in 2000. Since then, this Midwestern girl has dedicated her days to facilitating safe space and dialogue on the topic of fringe identities and cultures, as well as documenting healthy expressions of sexuality. She documents our sexual culture in her feminist erotic films, and she serves as artistic director of the forward-thinking nonprofit arts organization Femina Potens Art Gallery. Young values sexual education in her work and has taught workshops and lectures and been on panels on the topic of sexuality, feminist porn studies, and the politics of BDSM all over the world, including places like Yale, Hampshire, Northwestern, the University of Toronto, the University of Minnesota, and UC Berkeley. Her writings have been published in such books as my edited anthology, The Ultimate Guide to Kink, Baby Remember My Name, Rope, Bondage, and Power, Best Sex Writing of 2013, John's, Mark's, Tricks, and Chicken Hawks, and her brand new memoir, Daddy. Madison lives in Berkeley, California with her partner James and their child M. She's currently pursuing her doctorate in clinical psychology at the Institute for the Advanced Study of Human Sexuality. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Madison.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So I want to remind everyone that we are live tonight. So you can also join this conversation. If you have a question for Madison, if you've read her book, if you have a question about BDSM, give us a call at 866-472-5788. That's 866-472-5788. You can also post your questions on our Twitter feed at Sex Out Loud Radio. So, Madison, I devoured your new memoir, which is called Daddy. And let me first say that I generally think of myself as knowing some things about Madison Young. I've directed you in a couple of movies. Our paths often cross in our work. We've been at the same events. We've spoken on the same panels. I thought I knew like a lot of what there is to know about you. And I read this memoir and I've got to say, wow. You reveal a tremendous amount here that you haven't talked about publicly before. So I want to say kind of bravo for being so brave. And it's quite a brave memoir. And I guess I want to start with the title. Because Daddy in this memoir is a person. But Daddy's also a kind of a fairy tale, a state of being, a sense of security and stability that you long for. What are all the things that Daddy means to you?
A lot of the things that you just mentioned. I mean, the reason I went with the title Daddy is that much of this book is about redefining family. And about the idea of a hero and the father figure and the father role, the role of Daddy as being this heroic figure. but that really questioning hero as well of I think in our roles as sex educators and as the role that I'm often taking on as well, it's a role model often figure of kind of this idea of the hero. But you know, everyone is human underneath, and that we need to give space for that human part of us to exist, that we're all fallible, that we all have these soft mollusk bits of ourselves that exist within that shell, and really examining that, examining hero, examining the father role, examining and redefining family, and what Daddy really means.
And in some ways, it's also, there is a literal element to this because you have a daddy little girl dominant submissive dynamic with your partner, and much of that relationship is documented in this book. And I'm wondering how you would describe to someone who may know nothing about BDSM, nothing about role play, nothing about dominance and submission, what it means to you to have this kind of a relationship and what those roles mean to you?
A daddy little relationship is part of a DS dominant submissive relationship, is part of our, me and my daddy, our dominant submissive relationship, existing within the larger party acronym of BDSM. And within that, we create the structure. We went in, one of the first things that we did is we created a dominant and submissive agreement, a DS agreement, which really helped us to outline what our desires are, and to explore what aspects of DS we really wanted to engage in. Our daddy little roles are one part of our psychological makeup. It's a part of me that longs for safe surrender. I'm constantly in control. I'm a Virgo. I'm a control freak. I run two companies. I'm a workaholic. And often the only way that I will stop working is to have a daddy tell me not to. and to be in scene. Having the structure of a DS relationship and entering into the daddy little space, I'm able to set aside all of that work, all of the responsibilities, everything that everyone out there in the world wants from me, and instead focus in on serving one person and be totally present with that one person and totally connected and just kneel at his feet and feel safe in his arms and protected from the big bad world out there.
Well, you write about your negotiation, and also you talk about this binder that you have, which has like your agreements, which you regularly sort of refer to and then go back to and revise and change and renegotiate. Are you, after all these years of doing this dynamic, do you still have that binder and do you still refer to it regularly?
Yes. Yeah, we do. We actually, just this past Valentine's, took out the original agreement to take a look at it. And it was really interesting looking at like the past revisions and seeing the things that disappeared or that were added, that are often, you learn as you go along and you remember like the specific instances of, oh yeah, I remember feeling a little jealous in that situation. And that's why we added this, you know, little amendment over here and, you know, adding and changing things. But it was interesting to look at that journey. And yes, we still, have an agreement and, go back and revise that regularly.
And can you give me just an example of something that's in the agreement?
Let's see, that's in the current agreement?
Yeah, or something that was in the agreement before that you've taken out. I'm not, you know, I'm not pressing you to read the whole agreement to us, but something you want to share.
Yeah, we had how we would like to be referred to in scene, dates and times of when we would, when I would be in service to my daddy, like how many workshops we might go to in a month, that we'd go to like a minimum of 2 workshops a month. That's no longer really always so possible with raising a child, but, in previous agreements. Now we see what works. We, like in our current agreement that we have that will, go out to, public play space at least once a month. Things like that. It's things that serve the relationship as a whole. And things that we find, sexy and hot and, implements that we want to use more frequently. If we want to use it or explore it, in more depth, then we put it in writing.
Okay. Well, you brought up jealousy and I want to dig into that because that plays a role throughout the book. But we are first going to take a commercial break and hear from our fantastic sponsors, including Good Vibrations. Good Vibrations has been an incredible sponsor of this show. They are also a sponsor of the Feminist Porn Conference, and they sponsor fantastic things. And so in turn, you should support them. If you go to goodvibes.com, you can use coupon code Tristan for 15% off your order. And you should also check out their fantastic VOD site, which has lots of Madison's films, my films, tons of feminist porn. That's goodvibrationsvod.com. Coming up next, we will continue to delve into some of the really revealing information I found out by reading Madison Young's new memoir. So stay with us.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
I'm sex educator Elle Chase of LadyCheeky.com and SmutForSmarties.com. You have no way of knowing this, but I'm exercising my PC muscles right now, and I'm enjoying every minute of it because I'm using the EV Kegel Exerciser by Aneros. While the EV engages my PC muscles, its unique shape stimulates my G-spot and my clitoris at the same time, even while I sit here and talk to you. To have your own EV experience, go to Aneros.com.
Enjoy better sex today. Find Evie and the entire line of prostate massagers on Aneros.com. You can get 15% off and free shipping on orders over $75 by using the coupon code BETTERSEX.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are live today talking with Madison Young about her new memoir, Daddy. And you can call and talk to us at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. If you listen to the show, you know that simply by calling, you could win a prize. So, you know, besides just talking to Madison and I live, you can also win a prize. I'm just saying. Or you can ask us a question on our Twitter feed at Sex Out Loud Radio. So, Madison, you brought up jealousy before the break. And one of the things that's so refreshingly honest about this memoir is it kind of takes you inside your relationship with James, Mr. Mogul. And in some ways, I would say that, you know, someone who doesn't know this world might come to it and think, oh my God, this is like a BDSM relationship and there's this dominant submissive dynamic and they make porn and they're kinky and this is like super foreign. But as you get farther into it, you realize that the struggles you have feel, at least to me, felt very universal, very accessible, very easy to relate to in terms of, you know, how to negotiate a relationship and a family that is, you know, coloring outside the lines of our society that like doesn't fit into these neat categories. And one of the things that you're negotiating constantly throughout this story is your non-monogamy and the fact that both of you, for work, are playing or doing BDSM with other people and in some cases are also having sex with other people. And that's a negotiation point that sort of comes up and you're not afraid to reveal that you have a few meltdowns and a few jealous fits, which I think is really helpful for people because they can totally relate. I know I can relate. I was like, oh yeah, been there, done that. Just screamed at the vegan restaurant and stormed out. And so I'm wondering, looking back on it, where you are now and what's a lesson that you've learned that you could sort of pass on to people that's been the most useful for you in how to negotiate a really good open relationship?
You know, communication is key. And I think that the largest challenges that we faced, James and I, is when one partner is not communicating. And I think that's the the largest challenge is you can't make your your partner do anything, and you most certainly cannot make them communicate either. And that can sometimes feel frustrating. I think having as many tools as possible for communication. I think having a good therapist who is kink aware and is really very helpful, to have a facilitator, to know that it's okay to have jealous feelings. I feel like a lot of my outbursts and difficulties with and frustrations around non-communication reverted back to what I saw with my mother and how she expressed her jealousy and challenges and emotional frustrations. You know, that's something that I'm aware of and that I try to avoid and find more constructive ways of dealing with. Instead, identifying the emotions and taking a walk, breathing through it, talking to a friend, allowing the space for the emotions to, like, vent out. And being able to look at a situation in a more logical way and sitting down with your partner at that point rather than demanding communication when emotions are very high.
Well, I think one of my favorite parts of the book is one of my favorite scenes, because the thing people have to know about this memoir is, not only is it fascinating, it's a really good read. You're a really incredible storyteller, and I found myself, you know, caught up in certain situations. Like, I can't put this down. I can't eat lunch. I can't do anything. I have to find out what happens. So I love that part. So one of the things that is clear and that I think a lot of people have questions about is how you negotiate this kind of public-private divide when you both have these public personas as people in the BDSM community, as people in the adult entertainment world, and you also have this private relationship. And where this comes into focus the clearest for me was when you decided to take on the training of O, which is a kink.com website, which, like, puts people, submissives, like, through their paces, and is something that James had been doing with other submissives for work. And then you came to him at some point and said, I want to do the training with you. And it seemed like it was a very conscious decision on your part, but it also was an incredible turning point in your relationship. I wonder if you'll just tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. so James had been avoiding having me on the site simply because we were trying to create some space and some divide and some boundaries of what is personal life being more off camera. But then I love the work that he was doing within Training of O, and I was definitely envious of the experiences that they were having, and I wanted to be able to go on an intense journey with him. And you know, I mean, we work a lot. Sometimes the only times in which we could really get our full-on BDSM fixes on and carve out that time was when there was a camera there. Because we were so exhausted afterwards. We were so exhausted after working and flying and touring. And so I really wanted to go on that journey with him. And we decided to make it very real. And that was the first time that we created a DS agreement was right there. My collaring was right there. I was crying in his arms as he collared me. I mean, it was very intense. And very, very intense because there were some breaches of our boundaries and protocol that happened on that site and in those walls. And it was a very emotionally loaded space for me. So there was a lot of personal healing and healing together as we were going through that 4-day very intense journey. And while other submissives that would come through took off the collar after they went home, mine remained on, and we were full on 24/7 during that period.
I mean, that's what added this extra level of intensity. Like you said, these other submissives had gone through the process, but few, if any, had gone through it with their real life partner. And it seems to me you're taking an enormous risk in saying, we're going to take this part of our relationship to the next level, but we're going to do it in real time and have it filmed for everyone to see. I mean, was that terrifying on some level?
You know, it was terrifying on some level, but I find probably a bizarre security with the camera, and I feel a real safety with it there. That the presence of a camera carves out and holds a certain space for us to exist in. I mean, we exist outside of that, but it felt somehow, I feel more invincible when there's a camera there. Maybe the energy of all those that might watch it, the fact that it is being documented, it's definitely an energy that infuses me and empowers me when there is a camera there.
So in some ways, did it make you braver?
Yes, absolutely. It definitely made me braver. The fact that, I mean, if there was no camera there, that means there's less structure. I'm a Virgo. I need structure. You know, it held structure. Even if it was a really freaking scary structure of the armory, it was a structure, and the cameras being there added structure.
Well, I want to talk more about kink.com because it is the backdrop for much of this memoir, and a lot happens there, and a lot changes as the story goes on. But we've got to take another break and hear from our great sponsors, including Astroglide. Astroglide Lube makes sex better. Go to astroglide.com to get a free sample. We've also got some callers on the line. So callers, I am going to take you right at the top of the hour after this break. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. More with Madison Young when we come back.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Looking to add something fun and different to your sexual experiences? Then try Astroglide X, premium silicone personal lubricant. Astroglide X contains a unique blend of high-quality silicones that provide a silky smooth experience unlike any other. Astroglide X is also waterproof and perfect for water play. Not only does Astroglide X last longer than all water-based products and is hypoallergenic and latex safe, it's even great for massage. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are live tonight talking with Madison Young, especially about her brand new memoir, Daddy. You can call us at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. We have a couple callers on the line. Thanks for your patience. The first one I'm going to go to is Glenn, who's calling from Wisconsin. Hey, Glenn.
Hello there, ladies.
Hi.
Hi.
I am a big fan of both of you. I've heard you interviewed on a number of podcasts over the years, and I'm excited to finally actually get to talk to you.
Yay!
Yay! Double yay.
I have a sort of a general question about BDSM and relationships.
Yes.
My partner let me know about 5 years into our relationship that she was interested in bondage. And so, which I'm like, okay, cool. And we visited websites, bought toys, read books, etc. Awesome so far. I guess the only problem is if BDSM is a 10-course meal, we are stopping at the appetizers. You know, I've been exposed to various rougher things through the websites and some of the reading we've done, and she's not interested in any of that stuff. So it's like I'm seeing all these things that go way past what we're doing and cannot take part in them, and it's a little frustrating, and I'm not sure what I should do.
That's a great question. Madison, I'm going to let you take that, and then I'll chime in.
Okay. Have you spoke with her about what she's interested in as far as like where her fantasies lie? You've been speaking with her about other elements of BDSM that you're interested in exploring. Maybe if you can see what fantasies she has and other things she might be interested in exploring, you can find where those intersections lie.
I mean, do you feel like she doesn't, my question is, like, do you feel like she doesn't want to do some very specific physical things that you are interested in? Like, say, oh, I think I want to do electricity play. And she's like, no, no electricity. Or is it a psychological place that she doesn't want to go? I mean,
Yeah. I think it is more specific physical things. If BDSM, sometimes I see online something called love bondage, which is much more gentle. And then there's stuff at kink.com, and she is definitely more towards the other, the you know, the baby steps version, and that's kind of as far as she wants to go.
I would say that, you know, there's no start and finish line in BDSM, and that different people like to be touched in different ways and enjoy a different degree of intensity and a different degree of touch. So if your partner enjoys a lighter touch or different kinds of sensation, it doesn't mean that she needs to escalate to a point of enjoying higher intensity experiences. That might simply be what she's interested in exploring right now. So maybe following her a little bit on that journey of the things that she's interested in exploring with a lighter sensation.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it's tricky, Glenn, because bondage does kind of cover a wide spectrum. And I would say that because you're seeing certain things on kink.com, you're kind of seeing one or just a few aesthetics and a few kind of ways of doing bondage that are, that have this particular vibe to them. Whereas when you're out in the world and you're going to play parties or you're going to workshops, like, to me, there, you know, bondage can be all these different things, and it doesn't have to be this one particular kind of style. And I would say that a lot of the bondage on kink.com can be aggressive and a lot of predicament bondage and like stuff that you have to endure. Like, it definitely, there isn't a lot of light touch there. And part of that, I think, is for entertainment value.
Absolutely.
That in many ways, like, you have to remember with porn, everyone's like elevated their own personal desires and fantasies up, like they've kicked it up six notches to make a good performance, to make a good show. And so I think, like, I'm with Madison that you have to kind of gauge where the levels are for your partner and kind of work within that framework. And I also think that sometimes when people are really clear about where their boundary lies, if we respect that boundary in a really sincere and genuine way, they often then want to wiggle it a little bit. But you know what I mean? So in other words, if you can stay totally in the container that she wants you in and really honor that, you actually may end up getting more wiggle room later than if you attempt to challenge it now when it may just shut her down. That's my gut. That's my gut instinct.
Yeah, I definitely have been not pushing it, but I've been not pushing it for like 10 years.
Sound like a patient man, Glenn. Yeah. I mean, I think some more discussion about kind of where it can go and where her edges, where the safe edges are for her, might be in order. Because I think it's okay for you to say, hey, I want to kick it up a notch, but then you need to be really clear about what that is going to look like and let her in some ways take the lead on where it can go. And it may not go exactly where you think it's going to go, but I sort of encourage you to be open to the process so that she can also be open to where she might want to play. But it's a really good question, Glenn. Thank you for calling, and you're going to win a prize.
Yay.
If you if you email me, you can have your pick of a prize from Sports Sheets, which will probably facilitate this whole situation. Maybe both of you could go on the website. You could let her pick something. We'll send it to you, and then you can call us back and tell us how it goes.
Sweet.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
We've got another call from the place that you and I are going to next week, all the way in Toronto. Mara from Toronto, welcome to Sex Out Loud.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey there. It's awesome to talk to you, and I'll be really happy to see you in Toronto.
Cool.
Great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. So I guess I sort of wanted to sort of like hear thoughts on, I guess you've been talking a lot about identity and how that, you know, how that plays out. Like, you know, for example, you know, there, it can't be, it's probably not like tremendously simple to be both feminist and submissive, you know, especially sort of like, for people looking from the outside, just think maybe that's oppressive, you know, like how does autonomy, consent and claiming one's identity sort of allow all of these different structures and power dynamics to coexist in a way that is beneficial and satisfying for everyone.
Sorry, it's a great question, and it's one that Madison talks about a lot. You lecture a lot about being a feminist and how feminism intersects with BDSM. So take it away.
Okay. For me, being a submissive and being kinky actually really works really well with being a feminist. As I mentioned earlier on the show, I'm a control freak. I really like to have a sense of order and structure. It makes me feel safe. And BDSM is, it allows for the creation of that structure, of really creating a safe container in which to enter into and engage in a power and energy exchange in certain roles that are completely dependent on two individuals' mutual desires and what they want to share with one another. So for me, as a feminist, it's all about entering into the agreement and building that structure as equals and claiming and stating what my desires are and creating the structure based on that, and then being able to use gender and social norms as my fuck toy inside that container feels extremely feminist to me and very empowering. And allows me to really be totally present with my dominant. And, you know, my dominant is surrendering as much to me as I am to him. It's not just one person showing surrender. It's an equal exchange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, Tristan, I know in your book, Opening Up, you were talking about polyamory, and you're saying that people, you know, that equal doesn't necessarily mean symmetrical, right? And sort of a dominant submissive dynamic might be kind of an, you know, sort of a very good example of that. Could you maybe speak to what Madison has said about the, like, basically two people coming in as equals, getting their own needs met, but in, like, roles that are complementary and absolutely not the same?
Yeah, I mean, I think Madison said it beautifully. And, you know, we always come back to consent when we talk about BDSM. And so I need to say that this is really about consent. And, you know, so much of what feminists have been fighting for has been about the right for women to take charge of their lives, to take charge of their reproductive health, to take charge of their bodies, to take charge of their the economic forces that drive them, you know, to really. So I think that in many ways, as feminists, like, we want people who are, you know, paid an equal wage regardless of their gender. But when it comes to equality as a concept in relationships, I think we get a little bit stuck in this idea. Because for me, in a dominant-submissive dynamic, it's not about someone having power and someone else being powerless. Mm-hmm. It's really about both people coming to the table with an incredible amount of power and agreeing that one will have the authority over the other. And that agreement is based in consent, and it's based in the fact that the people are the architects of the relationship. So they aren't defaulting to societal expectations. They aren't defaulting to these unequal roles that sort of society puts on us. In many ways, they're like shedding that entirely and saying, we're going to make this relationship look the way we want to, and we're going to agree to it up front. And once the agreement is in place, then we can sink into the roles. But you can't approach, it's like you have to approach the whole thing with a level of mutual respect and acknowledging that everyone brings their own power and agency to it. And what they want to agree to, if you want to take your power and say, I agree to sleep on the floor, that is your right, and that's your fantasy, and that's your desire, and that is powerful to name it, to say it, to ask for it, to get it, and to have it respected within a certain level of boundaries, because maybe it's, you'll do it on the carpet, but you won't do it on the hardwood. All that stuff comes into play too. So I'm being a little cheeky here, but I want to say that that's what BDSM is to me. Like, all of this is about the details, and that's what is so freeing for people, is like, once you negotiate all of these details and you get the structure down pat, then you can let go. And like Madison said earlier, just surrender to the experience and not feel like there are these expectations that someone else or something else, some outside forces, have put on you. You've actually created the expectations because you created the power dynamic.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That sounds like a pretty apt description. I don't know. I consider myself a consent fetishist. I can't get off without consent. So, it's good. I just hope that, you know, like, that these attitudes can spread, sort of basically not have the, these norms and these roles imposed from on high, but rather have people sort of see what works for them. And if it ends up being that dominant model, great, but the unexamined life is not worth living, right?
Yeah, that was a great question. But we've got to take another break. I can't believe what time it is, people. It's like these amazing callers. I have all these questions. I haven't even gotten to like my meaty, meaty questions. So listen, people, that's what's coming up. After this break, after you hear from our great sponsors, including, by the way, WeVibe, who I love, go to WeVibe.com, check out all their new products. I'm going to get to my meaty questions. I'm going to put Madison Young on the spot, and I'm going to try not to give too many spoilers away from her memoir, Daddy. So stay with us. More with Sex Out Loud when we come back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Sport Sheets is the sex toy company that's been keeping couples connected for over 20 years. Their fantasy restraint and sex toy products redefine sexual adventure. From bondage and sexual positioning to strap-ons and role play, Sport Sheets makes a toy for everyone's taste and budget. So go treat yourself to something from Sport Sheets, available wherever great sex products are sold.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe, share the pleasure.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Tonight we are talking with Madison Young on the occasion of the release of her brand new memoir, Daddy. Before I forget, Madison, I know, will appreciate this. I need to give a shout out because a couple weeks ago, in a very unexpected way, I met this amazing baker from a company called Against the Grain. His name is Pete, and he works for this great company, which is local in southern Vermont. And Pete recently hooked me up with this amazing stuff from Against the Grain that's gluten-free. And, you know, I'm always looking for a good gluten-free baked good. And people, I'm here to tell you, the bagels to die for. AgainstTheGrainGourmet.com. Just got to put it out there, people. Not even, they didn't even pay for a commercial, but I got hooked up so hardcore, and I had one of those today with tofu cream cheese, and it rocked my world. Okay. That's Madison Young. So Madison, here's the thing I want to know. Okay. There's a lot of strife and drama in this book, which makes for a great read. But I've got to say that at some point, your partner, Mr. Mogul, doesn't always come off as heroic or as just that great. There's some tension. There's some drama. And so, but he's also very enigmatic because, you know, this is true with lots of memoirs. It's like you're just writing from your perspective. So in many ways, it leaves me with all these questions about him. It's like, okay, now I want to read his memoir because what was going on for him? But I wonder if you sat down and had a conversation, how he feels about this book being out there. It really, in some ways, does kind of lift the veil and shows some really intimate stuff about your relationship that is not perfect, that isn't pretty. What does he think of all that?
Well, he hasn't read the book. However, he does know that I have written the book. I haven't hidden it from him. He's very proud of me. He's given his blessing, and he knows all the topics in which I've wrote about. And I think we were having this conversation, and someone was over. And I was like, "But I told you that I was writing about that situation and about that thing." And he was like, "Yeah, you told me. It wasn't really a question of is it okay?" I'm kind of more of a, yeah, so the book is kind of going into this arena, and this is what I'm doing, and this is my experience, this is my art. And you know, he's always been supportive of my art, absolutely 100% of the gallery and of my art and of my writing.
But it sounds like you didn't exactly ask for permission to lay bare some of your dirty laundry.
No, I don't really ask for permission. I mean, it was my experience. So
this is, of course, even more ironic given the last question, because you are the submissive in the relationship and in the book, and yet you've gone ahead and, you know, basically said whatever you wanted to.
I'm the submissive within our daddy little relationship, but within our partnered relationship, I'm definitely a dominant force.
Well, that comes across loud and clear. And at the heart of this book, besides a kind of a love story, is this story of you having your daughter, Emma. I wonder what your feelings are about raising a child while you are also attempting to be an artist, be a sexual revolutionary, be on the road, and sometimes yourself be a little girl. What is that all like for you now that you're a parent?
It's wonderful. It's the most wonderful and challenging experience that I've ever come across. In many ways, Em was definitely my hero, and gave me great strength in a time when I needed it, which I think comes across in the book. And it's been a wonderful experience. I've learned so much from Em. Em just turned 3 years old a couple weeks ago, and it's amazing raising a little feminist, creating space for a child to have agency over their own body, to grow up loving themselves, and already teaching consent. All of those things are so important at such a very young age. And it's an amazing experience.
We are out of time, Madison Young, and I want to plug all your stuff. So I'm going to thank you, and you don't even have to say thank you back. I want to say Madison Young is the author of Daddy, published by Barnacle Books. Check out her workshops and her coaching at thesexpertnextdoor.com. Find out more about the book at daddythememoir.wordpress.com, and follow her on Twitter at Madison Young. Tune in next week. Same time, same place, Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be the legendary sex toy reviewer and blogger, Epiphora. That show was recorded live at Catalyst Con, and it's a fun one. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on Facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter at SexOutLoudRadio, and in your own life, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.